Romans chapter number 5. We've been preaching the last several weeks that we've been preaching on Sunday mornings, and almost some, I think, thought we would do this on Sunday night, but I think there's some here on Sunday morning that need to hear these things. Why we believe what we believe and why we stand on the things we stand on. We'll never understand who we are and where we are in our spiritual lives until we know why we believe what we believe. And this morning I want to preach to you about something that nobody wants to hear about. Something that we discussed some in our Sunday school this morning. Something that is relevant to every one of us. Something that many churches have made it a point, and it's part of their policy, never to mention and never to preach on and never to deal with. And that's sin. You see, you'll never understand the depth of God and the depths of His love unless you understand sin. There would be no reason for amazing grace had there not been a horrific sin. There would be no reason for the Lamb of God to come into the world. Because what did John say? He's the Lamb of God that has come to take away the sin of the world. Sin is one of the most important doctrines in the Bible that we need to comprehend and we need to understand. So that we can know who we are and why we are who we are. And we can know how much we're loved. If you found Romans chapter 5, we'd invite you to stand with us this morning. We'll take one verse as our text, verse number 12. Romans chapter 5, verse number 12. Wherefore is by one man sin entered in... Let me start over. Hold on a minute. Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Brother Jim, would you take us to the throne of grace? The sin question is one that has been ignored by many churches and many Christians, and to the disservice of the people that need to come to the realization of what sin is and who sinners are. We had some discussion this morning in Sunday school class, and Brother Reeve came to me after church or after Sunday school, and we was talking, and he said, you know, first off, we need to own up who we are. Amen? And I tell you who I am. I'm a no good, dirty, filthy, stinking, rotten, low down sinner that's been saved by grace. Amen? First, I need to own that. I need to own who I am. But praise God, I need to praise Him for what He's done. Amen? Amen? He loved me enough to send His Son to die for me, to give His life for me. And even though I'm a sinner, and even though I have a sinful nature, even though I'm saved, I'm thankful that God forgives sinners like me. The sin question has been debated through the centuries and by many people, and there's different ideas and different theologies and different thoughts on sin. Some believe that a man isn't born a sinner but becomes a sinner by nature, which is contrary to what the Word of God says. Some believe that man is unaccountable for his sin because he is unaware that he's a sinner. That goes contrary to what the Word of God says. Some believe that we're only guilty of the sins of commission, and we're not held accountable for the sins of omission. That goes contrary to what the Word of God says. We're held accountable for the things we do as well as the things that we don't do, when God's Word instructs us and directs us to do that. What we want to do is look at the sin question this morning from the perspective of what thus saith the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Let God be true and every man a liar. That's where our discussion got heated in Sunday school this morning. That's where we got off. And I shouldn't say heated, but it got active. It was good. Amen. Amen. It was good. It was relevant. It was definitive. And that's what we need. We need to quit skirting issues and deal with issues. The question arises in many lives, where did sin come from? Well, where did sin originate? I think the Bible answers that in itself. In Isaiah chapter 14, the prophet Isaiah says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? I know thou art cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pits." Ezekiel says, "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee." We see sometime in eternity past, there was the anointed cherub. His name was Lucifer. And I believe, and from what I've studied and what I've come to find, that he was probably the chief of all the created beings in heaven. I believe he was right below God in the hierarchy. He was kind of like the Haman that we read about in the book of Esther, right under the king. He was kind of like the Joseph was to Pharaoh. He was right under the king. I believe that Lucifer was the most powerful being in all of creation outside of God. But Lucifer's heart, the devil, Satan, Apollyon, the many names that the Bible has ascribed to him, the old serpent, the devil, he got lifted up in his heart. He got lifted up in who he was and in his position. And he thought to exalt himself to the place of God and to be just like God. You see, sin originated when rebellion took place. Sometimes in eternity past. But sin was brought into the world in the exact same way that sin was brought into the universe. If you go into Genesis in chapter number 3, we read this account of the fall of man. It says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat, and the eyes of them both were opened. And they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Y'all pray for me. I've been fighting a cold. I want to preach, but I'm going to have to talk. Amen. But we see that in our scripture that we just read, that mankind had the same desire, had the same issue that Lucifer had. The original seed of sin, the original place of sin. I will be like the Most High, and you shall be as gods. He had a lustful desire in his heart to exceed his place and to exceed where God had put him and had made him to be. And he wanted to be more than God wanted him to be and what God had created him to be. He wanted to be like God. He wanted to be a God. And the very thing that Satan held out, the serpent, offered mankind was the ability to be like God. Not only that, we read in Ezekiel that his wisdom was corrupted. His wisdom and his understanding was flawed. But we also see that he told Eve that the tree of knowledge of good and evil would make one wise, make you to know the difference between good and evil. You see, the same desires are in their hearts and in their lives. And the same thing has brought about the destruction, brought about the sin that has entered into the human race. It's the sin of rebellion. See, Lucifer, the anointed cherub, rebelled against his place, rebelled against where God had placed him and what God had anointed him for in heaven. Man, a perfect man, a perfect woman, in a perfect environment, created by a perfect God, instructed by a perfect God. Everything in our life was ordained by God. Chose to rebel against God because they wanted to be like God. They wanted to be more than what God had intended them to be. God had placed them there. They were innocent. They had no knowledge of sin. They weren't tainted by sin. They weren't touched by sin. But they wanted to be like God. James tells us that our lust will lead us to sin. Our desires for things that are contrary to what God's will and God's desire is for us will bring us to the place of sin. And therefore, as Adam and Eve believed the lie of the original sinner, Lucifer, sin was introduced into the human race. And as our text says, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men. Where did sin come from? It came from hearts of rebellion. Where did sin come from? It came from hearts that lusted for things contrary to what God's will was for us. Where did sin come from? It came from the very depths, the very deepest parts within us. We're born that way. Some people say, well, Pastor, what makes me a sinner? I'm a good person. Because you're just as complicit in the sin of Satan as Adam and Eve was. Because our original grandfather and grandmother chose to rebel against God. Chose to disallow what thus saith the Word of God. Chose to try to exalt themselves to the place of God. And see, that's what sin really is in our lives. It's wanting to be in control. That's the ultimate root. That's the ultimate base of sin in our lives. The ladies' conference yesterday, man, it was. The ladies just kept going on. They came up and told me how great it was. They come up and told me how great it was. They come up and told me how great. There was 75 women here, and I must have heard 500 times how great it was. Amen. It was good. I went home last night, and my wife kept telling me how good it was. Amen. It was good. Hey, man, I don't even know where I was going with this. their goal to get instilled in our hearts was I surrender all. You know what the hardest thing for us as a human being to do? I mean, I know it's hard for me. I struggle with it. Is to surrender all. Amen. It's to give everything. Everything I am. Everything I have. Everything I do. Everything I think. Unto Jesus. I surrender all. But we don't want to do that. We want to rebel. I don't want to surrender this. I don't want to do this. I want to do it my way. See, that's the root of sin in our lives. Is failure to surrender ourselves unto God and His will for our lives. What makes you a sinner? You was born with that nature within you. But preacher, I don't believe that. I can't accept that. Well, go back to Psalm 51. The psalmist says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. David, as he's praying his prayer of confession, acknowledges the fact that he was born a sinner. He was conceived a sinner. And if you want to get something that some people like to argue about, but it's Bible, and you can argue about it all you want. As we said, let God be true and every man a liar. Man, I got some little great-grandbabies. One just turned a year old. They're both just over a year old. Two littlest ones. Ornery as can be. Sweet as can be. But you know what they are? They're sinners. You know what they was born? Born sinners. You know what the first thing they learned to do? Lie. Miss Emily, I'm just blowing you away today, ain't I? I'm just, poor Miss Emily, I'm telling you what. They're liars. First thing a baby learns to do is lie to you. He's fed. He's taken care of. There's nothing wrong with them. And they'll squall and scream and holler and cry. Until you come and pick it up to find out what's going on. Nothing wrong. The belly's full. As soon as I pick it up, it gets quiet. Lay it back down. Wah! First thing they learn to do is lie. And I said, Pastor, I don't believe that. Well, let me read to you exactly what thus saith the Word of God. This isn't my theology. This is what thus saith the Word of God. In Psalm 58, verse number 3, says, the wicked are estranged from the womb. By the way, that word wicked, that means you're a sinner. Amen. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as they be born, speaking lies. Amen. That sweet, innocent little thing is born a sinner, born with a sin nature, born with a sin desire within their little bodies. The Bible says back in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned. Amen? For all have sinned. How can that be, preacher? I'm a good person. Because you were born that way. Because in your thoughts and in your deeds, anything that has been contrary to God's will for your life has been a sin. For all have sinned. On prior to 3:23, it says, there's none that does good. There's none. Amen. There's none righteous. No, not one. We have a sinful nature. We have inherited the spiritual sin gene, so to speak. Amen. Look, Sister Connie, I'm going to use her. Stand up here a minute, Sister Connie, so we can. She's dark-skinned. She's inherited the genes that give her the dark skin. I'm light-skinned. I've inherited the genes that give me. And you know what? Those genes stay with me. Those genes stay with her our whole life. We can't change that, can we? No. We can't make a difference in that. We are who we are. I love Sister Connie with all my heart. And I believe with all my heart she loves me. I believe she prays for me. I believe she supports me 100%. But I am who I am. And she is who she is. Amen? What are you trying to say, preacher? We need to own up to who we are. Amen? Thank you, Sister Connie. Thank you. We need to own up to who we are. Amen? We was that's what we was talking about after Sunday school this morning. We have differences among us as individuals, but we have all one thing in common. All one thing that none of us can deny. We can try to make excuses for it. We can try to hide it. We can try to say we don't possess it. But we all have it in common with one another. We're all born sinners. And we all have a sin nature. You're a sinner because you was born that way. You're a sinner because you were natured that way. There are people who will try to tell us, well, a man will rise above himself and man will become better, but history has proven that not to be so. Look at any civilization where great power has been exhausted and or great power has been poured out upon. And tell me where they have risen above themselves. We look at the Greek Empire. We see the Greek Empire. We see the Egyptian Empire. We see the Roman Empire. We see all these great empires that have risen in antiquity and have raised up. And when you study out these empires, you find out that they became great because of their military might. But absolute power corrupts absolutely. And they became debauched in their moral lives. Why did the Roman Empire fail? One of the greatest empires in all of antiquity. because of debauchery. They didn't rise above sin. They fell into sin. They fell further and further and further into debauchery. They embraced it. There you go, Brother Reeves. They embraced it. They just didn't come in contact with it. They embraced it wholeheartedly. You're right. Everything that we can think about, and we'll look at that in just a moment. Look at modern civilization and look at some of the great powers that have arisen in modern civilization. Look at the great British Empire. There was a time where it was said one time the sun never sets on the British Empire because they had their hands, this little island in the middle of the Atlantic had its tentacles and its hands stretched around the whole world and everywhere they were touching everything. But the British Empire collapsed. It collapsed from within, not from without. Many still belong to the British Commonwealth. They still relate to the effects that Britain has had in their lives. Look at the Third Reich. Look at the Nazi Empire, Hitler's great source and great desire for power and supremacy to rule over everything, and how it raised up, and it was going to be the thousand-year Reich, and it lasted less than 20. And was brought to nothing. Why? Because of the evil and the debauchery that was going on within the Nazi Empire, within the Third Reich. The systematic murder, the systematic purging and cleansing of innocent people. That's not rising above sin, that's sinking to the lowest depths of sin and debauchery. Look at the Soviet Union. One of the greatest land masses at one time was the Soviet Union. Probably the largest country on earth was the Soviet Union, the USSR. And when it finally came down and finally fragmented and split back into the individual countries which had made up the USSR, more and more and more of the atrocities that were happening on the inside began to leak out. We found again the systematic execution of millions and millions of people. We have the millennials, and last night I think it was on Fox, one of the Fox things that comes up on the internet and jumps up, said a recent study has shown that the millennials are now thinking that socialism and communism are the better way to go than the capitalist way of life. Obviously, they haven't heard of all that the socialists and the communists have done to destroy life and to destroy the individual. You see, sin never will bring man to a higher plane. Sin will always take man to a lower level. Flip back in your Bibles just a couple pages into Romans chapter number 1. And just follow along with me for just a moment. Look in verse number 20. It tells us they know about God. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. Amen? You can't deny God. There's proof of God in the world in which we live, in our very existence. They have a knowledge and understanding of God. Even those who say they are atheists and don't believe in God believe that something happened and something transpired. They might not believe in God the way that I believe in God, but they know that something happened that was beyond explanation. I can't for the life of me understand how they can say that I'm crazy because I believe in a God that always was. When they say the world was created from nothing, there was a big bang. All these gases exploded. And my response to them is always, well, where did all these gases come from? Hey, man. You know, real simple. You tell me I'm crazy because I believe in God that always was and has created all things. But you'll believe in something that is just a theory. Amen. That can't be proved. Or I can look out and see nature proves to me that God exists. I can read the Bible and the history of the Bible and the things that the Bible clearly show me that God exists. Amen. God told us that the world was underwater before scientists and geologists ever come along and come up with their theories of billions of years and all this sediment. And God said it happened in less than a year. Amen. From the time it began to rain to the time that Noah come off of the ark. See, I choose to believe God. There's evidence there, but they have a knowledge of God. But verse 21 says they choose not to believe Him as God. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain, and their imagination and their foolish heart was hardened. Now, I want you to understand something. This is the progression of mankind in general. Some people say, well, this is talking about homosexuals, and this is talking about this particular group and that particular... No, it's the progression of sin in civilization in general. First, we know there is a God, but we choose to deny Him. We know there is a God, but we choose to glorify Him. We can see the evidence of God, but we reject Him. Amen? This is man's nature. This is why man won't rise above sin in and of himself. Verses 22 to 25 tells us that, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. They worshiped the created things more than they did the one who created them. We got people, they say, well, I don't need to come to church, Pastor. I can go out in the woods and sit in nature and I can just see God. That ain't what God said to do. That's not how God said to worship Him. You're not worshiping God, you're worshiping nature. I can get out on the river, Pastor, and I go down the river in my boat on Sunday morning, and it's so serene and peaceful out there, and it's just so sweet out there, and I just see God. No, you don't. Don't lie to me. Don't lie to yourself. Don't lie to God. You're out there fulfilling the lust of your heart. You're out there worshiping that water and that good time that you're going to have. You can say amen or ouch. The truth will stand when the world's on fire. Amen. Oh, Pastor, I could just worship God here. I can worship God there. No, you're not worshiping God. You're worshiping what God created. If you want to worship God, you'll worship God the way that God said you'll worship Him. Amen. Amen. God said, forsake not the assembling of thyself together. Why do you think so many members of churches don't go to church on Sunday morning? Because they want to worship the creature. They'd rather satisfy themselves. They'd rather worship the things that the Creator has created. Amen. Man, I heard a message years ago. A preacher down in Tennessee preached it. Snake bit Christians. Amen. And some of the things that Christians get bit by. You know, down in Tennessee, they got the Watauga Lake. He said, yeah, they get bit by the Watauga Lake snake. Hey, man. Talked about folks are smoking. He said, some of them get bit by the puff adder. Hey, man. He said, some of them get attitudes and get all pooch mouth. You know what that is? Hey, man. You get bit by the pooch mouth snake. You know what happens? They quit worshiping God. And they want to worship everything else. It's why they had to take, I think it was Josiah, had them take the brazen serpent and break it up so that it was no more. Because people began to ritualize it. They were worshiping the snake. They were worshiping the bronze serpent instead of worshiping God. See, there's a progression here. They know there's God. They refuse to acknowledge Him as God. And soon they're worshiping other things as God. And then they change the natural course of nature into what's perverted before God. For this cause God also gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. We see that man does not ever progress into a more godly individual on his own, but because of the sin nature, man is brought down into the depravity of sin. And the further he goes in sin, the lower he sinks into that depravity. Look at America today. Look around the world today. What are they teaching our kids? What are they teaching our young people? Are they not teaching them that homosexual is just a natural thing? It's just another way to live. It's just another act of life. And it's just another facet of life that we need to embrace and we need to accept and we need to condone. Completely contrary to the teaching of the Word of God. You say, but Pastor, there are good people. I know homosexual people that are great people. Amen? And I'll go so far as to say this, in anyone in this church that would ever make someone come in here that was in that situation and make them feel uncomfortable and unwanted here, you're wrong. Amen? How are they going to get saved if they never hear? Amen? How are they going to hear if somebody don't preach it to them? If somebody don't tell them about the love of God? If somebody don't help them understand that they're a sinner in need of a Savior? They sink lower and lower and lower. But then, the conclusion of chapter number 1, they perpetuate their sins. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness and fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. You see, the problem with sin is man will never rise above sin. Man will only sink further into sin. Man will only have a desire to perpetuate sin. And man will only continue in sin. See, we need to understand, sin's not just some word we need to, well, I'm a sinner, but I'm saved, and I'm God's child, and we need to acknowledge, we need to take ownership of who we are. Amen? Amen. Sinners saved by grace. Amen. Sinners without a hope. Sinners condemned by the word of God, the same condemnation that the devil has. Why do we need to hear about sin? To bring us to the place of salvation. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. There would have been no reason for John 3:16. There would have been no reason for God to display His grace and His mercy upon us had we not stood in need. And the only way that we know that we stand in need is to realize that we're sinners and we stand in need of salvation. Amen. We need to understand our sins keep us from God. Romans 8:5-8 says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind, the sinful mind, the natural mind," you might as well say, you could put it in those words, "the carnal mind is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be, so they that are in the flesh cannot please God." That word enmity means it's an enemy of God. It's contrary to. Friend, if you're here today and you're not saved, if you're here today and you've never asked Jesus Christ into your heart, you're a sinner that's under the condemnation of death. And there's no way that you can ever reconcile that. There's no way that you can ever be made right apart from what God has done. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's offered you life. He wants you to understand the depths of His love and His compassion and His care. And until you realize how sinful you are and what a sinful being you are, you'll never comprehend the depths of how much God has loved you. For God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Now, do you realize the only reason that Jesus Christ came from the glory world? Do you realize the only reason that God took on the form of a servant, took on the form of man, and went to an old rugged cross and shed His blood on that old rugged tree was because you were a sinner in need of a Savior? Had there not been sin, there'd have been no need. There'd have been no John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Why? "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil." Friend, I want you to know something today. Jesus loves you. Amen. If you don't grasp nothing else about this message on sin this morning, grasp this. Jesus loves you. But I want you to know something else this morning. Sin has a stronghold. He said they reject Christ. They reject what He's done. They reject God's gift of salvation. Why? Because sin has a stronghold. And they don't receive the light. They'd rather dwell in darkness. They'd rather dwell in sin. Because sin has great power. Sin has great sway.
It requires change.
It requires you to make a change. Sin. Sin. Will keep you from everything that God wants to give you. Sin will condemn you to what God has chosen for the devil and those that reject him. Friends, sin is real. Sin has power and sway. The Bible says over in Hebrews chapter 11 that Moses chose to follow God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You hear it said all the time, sin will take you further than you wanted to go. It's true. Sin will keep you longer than you wanted to stay. That's true. And sin will cost you more than you're willing to pay. And that's true. Why is it so important that you understand about sin? Because it's who we are. Sinners. Everyone here this morning is a sinner. Some are sinners saved by grace. But some are sinners under the condemnation of hell, the condemnation of death, the condemnation of an eternal agony that will never end and never cease. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I was born a sinner. I lived a sinner. One day I give Jesus my heart, and praise God, I'll die a sinner saved by grace. Amen. And that's all that I can brag on. That's all that I can talk about. Brother Jim, Sister Mary, let's go.